How do you find this topic? Sometimes it's been out of my morning studies. Sometimes it's been a follow-on to a pastor's message. But this time, a comment. At breakfast, he has brought us this far. There'd been mention of some of the difficulties around our family, around our church. He has brought us this far by his grace. And it just hit me. That's what I need to speak about. Thinking about how far people have been. The Bible has many steps, many journeys, which the people of God have been brought. And I thought I'd start with a few samples of those. Then I thought, if I read one or two of these, that'll fill up half an hour quite nicely. So I'm only going to read you just a little bit out of each one, because I'm sure if you've been coming to the church as often as I think most of you have, okay, we have a couple of visitors, but I think you might have heard these before anyway. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you." Abraham did go, with stops along the way. When you read the story, it's quite long, all the stops. And he did see the promised land. Then a little later, there was this event. So when the Ishmaelites, who were Midianite traders, came by, Joseph's brothers pulled him out of the cistern and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver. And the traders took him to Egypt. So Joseph went to Egypt. Eventually, so did the brothers. Just a couple out of the Old Testament. I wondered briefly about including some of the bits we had last Sunday. Mary's visit from the angel Gabriel. At the beginning of the story. But instead of that, a piece from Acts chapter 9. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. I need to read the rest. I think a lot of you will recognize it. He fell to the ground and heard voices saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" His name changed to Paul, didn't it? Paul was surely led by our Lord over the following years. I've occasionally wondered how many, because in one place it actually says he went into the desert for years. And his work and writings have had greatly effective in the spread of the gospel around the world. He has brought us this far. He brought those, Abraham, Joseph, and the family, Paul, and all his work. As a group of Christians, do we have a low point? A bit as described as in John 21. We had it up there just now, the beginning of it. Seven disciples. How many disciples did he have? Seven bothered to be there on the day beside the Galilee, and Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing. We'll come with you." Were they interested in spreading the word? "We'll come with you fishing." So they got in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. The disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No." Imagine the comment from a whole lot of fishermen who didn't catch anything all night. I think a one word "no" is not very likely. Yeah. "Throw out your net on the wrong side." Those of you who know the story, I'm sure, have heard that fishing was always supposed to be on the left side of the boat. And he says, "Put it on the right, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul the net in because there were so many fish. Fishermen and friends. Okay, four of them we know were fishermen. Who were the other three? They probably were of much the same general population. No comfort. What had happened? Jesus was not there with them. As he had done for several years. Their numbers, limited, only seven. Their numbers, their political clout, very limited, just fishermen. No insult to fishermen. We've got one in the back, got two that I know of. But I'm sure you don't parade in the halls of power, either of you, talking to the government. Not really. Their outreach? Okay, Lester's travelled the world. But I'll bet this lot of fishermen and their friends probably hadn't been out of Galilee. In those days, you didn't travel very far. So they probably hadn't been more than 100 miles from home. Well, not until they walked with Jesus. He covered more than that. A discouraged, small group with no clout. Does that sound a bit like our church? For a few days, I think that would have described us quite well earlier in the year at one stage. Some of the discouraged comments I got just after Paul announced his retirement were a bit like I think these were. "Where do we go now? We're headed." "We lost a pastor." But then what happened? Several people have put a lot of effort into making this church succeed. And in the process, I'm pretty sure they have grown in the surety and strength of their own faith. I think some of you really have developed remarkably well over this year. Many have prayed earnestly and frequently for this ongoing work, and there have been clear answers to those prayers. Praise the Lord, He answers prayer. I've known it since so high. I'm one of the lucky ones. Including bringing us a new pastor. I'm sure it's of His leading. Having been through some of the other times we've looked for a new pastor, I could definitely see the hand of the Lord leading in this one. Many of us realize that we're really only just a small corner of God's kingdom. We are. This church is relatively small, but it is part of a larger whole. I bothered to chase a little bit and discovered 51 million believers in 134 countries constitute the Baptist World Alliance. You realize you're part of 51 million people called Baptists? And that's not counting the other denominations. And seeing I was brought up mixed Anglican and Presbyterian, I have fairly strong affiliations with some of those. I have met great Christians in several other denominations. So if we've got 51 million Baptists, how many others are there that really are good Christians? The Lord's got quite a kingdom out there. Don't think we're just small. I couldn't find it, but somewhere about this time last year, there was a report of a baptism in Central Africa when they baptized 250 people in one Sunday morning. You think you're a bit lonely? Go to the right place for being not lonely. So, what's going to happen in the coming year? Might be a bit cheeky, but I said, put here, come next Sunday and see if Jennifer will outline some of the things that can happen in 2025. You had given me half a hint that you were talking along those lines. But don't rely on just Jennifer. Who do you rely on? The Holy Spirit working. How does He get to work? When He's asked. How do you ask? You pray, and you pray again. So I commend that to you. No matter what ideas are brought forth by Jennifer or by anyone else that suggests ways we should go, you need to pray for these things, that they are of the Lord and that He will support them, that they're not just nice ideas like Christmas, New Year resolutions that disappear in a few weeks. Don't know about you, but mind you, I've given up on New Year resolutions. They disappeared so fast. So I leave you with these two particular thoughts. Prayer is the powerhouse of the church. I've heard that from a variety of sources, but fairly frequently over the years. What's our powerhouse? Prayer. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord when you come to a service. Talk to the Lord at home, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up, maybe when you're doing the dishes, hanging out the washing, digging the garden. One of our previous pastors used to have a massive great garden out here where the car park is, and that was where he wrote his sermons. And somebody told me once they'd come to actually try and catch up with him, and here he was in the middle of the rows of potatoes on his knees praying. I think that was why he had such good sermons. Praying. And the other thought was the comments of the angel Gabriel that we had read to us last week. There is nothing that God cannot do. I've sort of known that, as I said, since so high. I was brought up with the whole family with that attitude. It's been great. Pray, pray, pray and believe. He has brought us this far by his grace. He will bring us to Zion to look on his face. Oh, blessed is God. Thank you.